Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Am I on?
Hairbrush Mark. Cue the music.
This is just a guide to modern life. Modern life is hard to get just right. It can frustrate you and annoy. And if it does, right into dear Lovejoy.
Welcome to Dear Lovejoy. This is an advice podcast, and there are a lot of problems out there. Now, humans are different from animals. We have fire, we can cure disease, we can even fly. Though what we're best at
is... So can some animals.
Though what we're best at... They can't do all three. Though what they're best at is creating problems for ourselves. That is what humans are very good at. Big problems or small problems, we're not prejudiced or accepted and hopefully cured here on this podcast. Keeping in check is Mark.
Hiya.
Hello, Mark. Just to make sure, though, first of all, that you know what you let yourself into by listening to this podcast. I'm not trained at therapy or medicine, so if you're taking advice off me, you're taking advice off a TV presenter. Remember that. Okay, let's start this podcast by reviewing last week's podcast where I had a hair transplant.
No, you didn't. That was the point.
I didn't have a hair transplant. It seemed to go down rather well. People seem to like it.
Yeah.
People seem to enjoy laughing at me.
Yeah, it's a fun hobby.
I had a bit of feedback on it. One here from Claire said, "Hi Tim, listening to the latest podcast. I'm glad you didn't get a transplant. You look smashing just as you are."
You still don't get a certificate for that.
Ricky made me laugh because a lot of my mates go, "What is that about? Oh, what were you thinking?" I used to look up to you growing up, said Ricky. Save Chip and all that jazz. Stop eating your jumper. Good man for not doing it. Mark made a point the day I was going to do it. He said probably, what did you say? There was a percentage you came up with of the audience, people who watch me are probably...
Well, say 50% are male.
Yeah.
Okay. And say another half of them are balding.
Yeah.
Right? Well, that's 25% of your audience are balding.
25% of my audience are going through hair loss. Yeah, they are, aren't they? I mean, what age did you start losing your hair? I started losing mine.
Oh, a couple of years ago for me.
So I started losing mine probably late 20s or something, but slowly. And then a couple of years ago, a lot of it fell out in one go.
Stress.
Actually, it feels, do you know what it feels? Yeah. It was actually, but you know, it actually feels like it's grown back since I haven't had the transplant. I think God's shining down on me and gone, do you know what? He's a good guy, that Tim. I'm going to give him some more hair.
Yeah, I mean, he's ignored all the other problems in the world and just gone straight for your bonnet.
What shall I do today? I know what I'd do. I'll sort out TV Tim's hair. My only regret, because one of my mates went, wow, that was honest, that podcast. You haven't listened to it, listen back to it, because it's quite funny. But he said to me, you're very honest on it. And I went, yeah. But my only regret from the whole thing was when I said being a vegan is a fad. when I listened back to it, I'm sorry, veganism, if that's such a word, is not a fad. I just said it. It came out.
Veganism is definitely a word.
Is it?
Yeah.
Being a vegan, veganism, it's not a fad.
A veganist is nothing.
I fancy doing... The vegan diet is what I said one day. I thought I fancied giving it a bit of a go. Sounds like it's healthy. And then I said, I'm into fads. But what I always think about is I like just trying new things. So, Mark, have you had any greasy coffees this week?
I haven't this week. No,
Tim. Mark took me for a coffee, which they stick butter in it. And then apparently it's going to be a miracle. Your life is going to change. Bizarrely, one of my producers on Sunday brunch swears by it.
I'm looking into it. I'm looking into that diet.
But do you know if you... Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, are we going to do it?
Well, I'm going to have a look at it, yeah.
I say we.
Yeah. Well, you don't need to. Nothing of you.
Well, I think I could do with cutting up for the summer.
Oh, my word.
Getting ripped. What's the new term that everyone says?
Shredded.
Shredded, yes. I need to be shredded for the summer so I can take my shirt off and people can go... so, But do you know when you do it? Because my friend who works on Sunday Brunch, Luke, said that you don't have any breakfast. Do you know this?
You have a coffee.
Coffee instead of
breakfast.
Yes,
I know. I've looked into it. Yeah, you have coffee and then you have a lot of fat and protein and some vegetables.
So what time do you have lunch? About 9:30?
No, you have it. You're supposed to eat between 2 and 6 or 2 and 8, I think.
2 and 8. Do you fancy it then? Do you fancy doing it?
I
okay,
can do it.
So you're going to try it, are you?
Yeah, I like the coffee.
Do I have to buy something then if I want to try it? Or can I just do it with normal coffee?
I think you need MCT oil.
Can you not just do it with butter? Normal.
You can
butter?
Do. You can do it with coconut. You need something that's really high,
greasy.
That's really high in fat. Okay. That starts your metabolism going really quickly in the day.
Okay. All right. It's one of those things, though, isn't it?
It's called the bulletproof diet.
Is that?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I've been reading up about it.
But I read all these things and I love it all. And I'm not being dismissive of it at all. But it starts annoying me a bit because have you heard about the power of? I don't know whether I ever say this word right. It's either turmeric or turmeric. How do you say it?
Oh, it's either.
Either.
Yeah.
Have you heard about the power of that?
Yeah.
All right. So, but you have to eat like a bath full of it.
Yeah.
Unless you eat it with black pepper.
Right.
I mean, who comes up with that? Someone's sitting around going, can we get away with this? We're going to tell them to eat turmeric, but we're going to say, you got to do it with black pepper. That is
just make it
surely
up.
Made up nonsense, isn't
I don't
it?
Use, you know, when I make an Indian dish, I don't use turmeric.
Why?
Because it doesn't actually taste of anything. And you know when
yes,
you've got,
it does?
And you know you've got like a wooden spoon
yeah.
on your or like you're on a chopping board. Oh. It's the one, it stains everything.
Stains.
So if you don't put it in, it doesn't, you don't get it.
What is it doing to your insides?
Exactly.
It's staining your board. But I think we should do a new section which goes, can we get away with this?
Right.
Things like, I mean, the Kardashians, that show. They're being found out now, aren't they? Everyone's going, oh, I don't want to watch that anymore. But they were just like, oh, can we just get some cameras and film ourselves doing nothing? And can we get away with it? That's one of those ones, isn't it? Can we get away with it?
That's what we should have called this podcast.
Yeah, we're treading on thin ice there, aren't we? Yeah, Tim, should we do an advice podcast?
Can we get away with it?
We're getting away with it so far. I actually love all these things. I might try greasy coffee with you, as long as we call it the greasy coffee diet rather than what's it supposed to be called? Bulletproof.
Yeah,
that's the marketing man, right? We're gonna say it's brilliant. They're sitting there going, all right, we're gonna stick. What should we stick in coffee? Butter? Yeah, why not? Well, I was thinking ham. Or egg. No, butter. Yeah, let's butter. What should we call it? Well, it's a greasy coffee, isn't it? No, let's call it a bulletproof. Yeah, bulletproof. That's great. Yeah, that makes everyone seem invincible. Yeah, let's do that. Everyone will buy it. That's basically what's happening, isn't it?
Yeah. Works, though.
The Superman diet.
People swear by it.
The Superman diet. Oh, what's that? Oh, it's like a... It's like an
you
egg.
Just wear your pants outside your trousers.
It's egg and urine.
It means you need smaller trousers, which means you've lost weight.
In porridge. All right. All those miracle health, I'm not sure. Do you remember those things? Actually, Ronaldo's advertising them again, which I feel really bizarre. My mate Scott used to sit there. He was from Manchester and he used to sit there. We used to watch football around his flat and he had one of those gut buster things.
Oh, the electrode thing. Yeah.
And he used to sit there and it was brilliant because he genuinely, I promise you, this is not a joke. We used to order pizza and drink beer and watch football and he'd be sitting with that thing on and I'm going, this is ludicrous. You're eating pizza and drinking beer. He goes, yeah, but it's toning whilst I'm watching
football.
Did
it work?
Well, no, but it works on Ronaldo. Look at his body. Whoa. Do you think they work, those things?
I don't know. I don't know the science behind it.
I found when I became trimmer that it was, and it annoyed me a bit because I eventually did it with the high intensity interval training, HIIT.
Funny you should say that.
Are you going to try that?
I've started that this week.
How are you doing it?
I've done a couple of days.
How are you doing it though? Which way are you
doing
it?
Well, normally I go for a 50-minute cycle in the morning mm-hmm. before I go to work.
Yeah.
I come home and have a shower and go off. But this time I did, today I did a couple of days this week, I did half an hour. And I was doing
sprints
on the bike.
On the bike, okay.
On the bike, and then when basically when you got your breath back, they call it warming down. But basically, when you can breathe again, then you do it again.
So what I'd either do is I'd run for a minute, rest for
a
minute, run for a minute, rest for a minute, or I would do run for 30 seconds, rest for 30 seconds, sprint basically, or I'd combine the two. So I'd run for a minute, rest for a minute, and then go into the 30-second routine. Sorry, and then it does actually. It starts sort of making you cut and ripped and shredded for the summer. But, yeah, you know, but I always felt I was cheating because I always thought running, because for years I used to run for a long period of time, 45 minutes, 50, yeah, an hour or something like that. And then you're generally running for, I don't know, 15 minutes or something, 10, 15 minutes, and you're getting the same results. It just felt like cheating.
But running at a constant, like when I find when I cycle at a constant speed, I don't know how actually fit I am. You know, when you have to sprint for a bus, I could cycle for 15 minutes, but if I have to sprint for a bus or a train,
I'm out
of breath because I haven't got that, like, the sort
0
of...
0 to 60.
Yeah, that 0
you
to 60.
You haven't got your 0 to 60.
No, exactly.
But, you know, it's about working out what's right for you and your body. The Buddhist proverb goes, Mark, work smarter, not harder, as we all know. Anyway, coming up on today's podcast, we've got problems about buying tickets, sleep deprivation, nosing in on people's social media habits, talking about death, how to be a great parent. That's a good one. Tune in for that if you're a parent. And the art of conversation.
They're not going to tune out, are they, and then tune back in again?
Yeah, I sometimes think we're on radio. We're not, are we? We're on a podcast. Right. First lesson in life, as everyone knows, doesn't matter what anyone thinks about you. It only matters what you think of yourself. But let's open the wardrobe and look into the magical world of Ego Corner, shall we? It's not a jingle, Mark. It's not a jingle. Jill Cockrell says, thank you. I'm loving the Dear Love Joy podcast. Got it on SoundCloud. TV Tim, give some good advice. See? TV Tim.
I'm sure you read that one last week. That can't be two people in a row who think you give good advice.
I was suddenly thinking, I wonder if I did read that. Maybe I did. Laura said, love the podcast this morning. It eased my bank holiday hangover. Oh, that's a good idea. Get a hangover, sit down in the morning and listen to a podcast. You don't have to do anything. Don't even have to open your eyes, do you? No. Just to listen to this. Sue says, she's happy. Tim Lovejoy read my tweet out on your podcast. Made my week. Love this week's podcast. Hey, Sue, if you send an email, you get a certificate. And you love that even more. How are the certificates going?
Sent out some last week. I've got a few more to do this week.
Okay. Have we got, how's Hal? Did he email in this week?
We haven't heard from Hal
this week.
I think it looked like he was having some sort of bank holiday bonanza.
Probably. That's what everyone does. Yeah. You know? So he's probably doing
he's
that.
He's probably still hungover.
Okay. So do we work out how many emails he's on? Because if anyone wants to know why we're discussing this, it's because there is a...
Listen carefully, Janine.
There is a loyalty scheme. Yeah, someone's got it confused. Janine, I'll mention Janine in a minute, but Janine's got it confused. She thinks every time we read out one of her emails, she gets a certificate. What's the point in that? Like, you just get out all these certificates all over. But it doesn't work like that.
She's run out of wallpaper. She just wants to...
It works more like a swimming certificate. You have to achieve goals to get your next one. And so your first one's just your run-of-the-mill certificate, which everyone's getting at the moment. But they're still great. Then once you hit 5, you get a bronze. When you hit 10, you get a silver. When you hit 25, you get a gold. And then when you hit the magical 100 emails read out on this podcast in the year 2035...
You get a personal appearance.
I'm coming to your house to deliver it.
It's really not.
I really am. If I read out 100 emails from someone, not that anyone's going to keep
count. Start hoovering, Hal.
Sarah says, I only just found your podcast. Started from the beginning, waiting to see if your guitar playing develops. So last week we didn't have... last week we put out a podcast. The week before we didn't have one and people were upset. But there was a bit of, you know, there was a bit of movement with people saying they were happy that it was going to come back. And Janine, as we mentioned, wrote a poem about it. She was so excited that the podcast was on its way back. Shall I read it? This was the night before the podcast came back.
Do you want me to get my cello again?
Could you get your cello out? Okay. Stand up. Hold on.
Wait a second. Hang on. Let's go.
You ready? "'Twas the night before podcast, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The headphones were hung by the bedside with care, in hopes that dear Lovejoy would soon be there." Thank you. That's from Janine. Thank you very much for that poem. Anyone wants to write a poem about us?
What's brilliant about that is that's the best thing she sent in, but she sent it on Twitter, so she
doesn't count to her 5. She should have emailed it in. Oh, dear. Sorry, Janine. Sarah said, "The world is restored again. There's a new podcast." A little pun on the fact that I was going or hair restoration, I think. Ha ha ha. We also got a letter in from Fanny. Now, we solved Fanny's problem on this show a few weeks ago. So her problem was, how do I summarize this? She'd put on weight. She'd put on half a stone in weight, and her boyfriend was telling her that she'd put on half a stone in weight, and it was making her anxious, upset, and she was crying about it. And our solution was, maybe it was a wake-up call, maybe it was time to lose the weight, or maybe it's time to, if she was very comfortable with her weight, maybe it was time to ditch in that uncaring boyfriend.
Are you all right?
I've got wind.
I thought you had...
I want to burp, but I can't burp. Excuse me. Stop it, Mark.
You're doing like the thing that dads do at the end of meals. They're lecturing at the end. They go...
Yeah. Well, it's all right now. I'm recovered. Back to Fanny. Dear Mark and Tim, she sent in an email to us. Loving the certificate, it made my day. Love Mark's comment. What? Love yeah. Mark's comment. Get skinny and dump him. No way!
See, you definitely I've been saying for weeks that it should be called Dear Mark.
You definitely made me feel stronger and more committed to lose a bit of weight for my own joy. Yeah, see, that was my idea, Fanny, not his. Missing this week's podcast because we didn't do one a couple of weeks ago. That's when she sent this in. All the best, Fanny. Oh,
you're really annoyed that I got a mention.
No, I'm not annoyed at that because yeah, no, because it's it's the typical Route 1 pub advice. This is get skinny, dump him. That is not the solution. It's not about him. It's about her, Fanny. You're missing the point here. And I'd like to say that I have made her feel stronger and more committed to lose a bit of weight. That's from me, not the get skinny and dump him. I told you at the time.
You're taking real Umbridge daughter.
I told you at the time when I read it out, I said, I think Fanny might just want us to say, dump your boyfriend. She might have just been looking for an excuse.
I give the people what they want, Tim, you know. Yeah.
Fanny, keep hold of him. I think he's a keeper. He's a good looking fella. And I like the way he dresses. Here's our first problem of the week. This one's off Twitter. It says, it's from Danny. Been offered cup final ticket for £115. Well, that's 115. Should I go? I replied to him, only you know whether you're going to have £115 worth of fun, though consider both scenarios, winning and losing. It's a problem that when you buy a face value ticket to a football match or a game or a sporting event, you know you're getting what everyone else is getting. When you're going to pay above the odds? Actually, he's £115 above the odds. I mean, we don't know where he's sitting. What do you think at Wembley?
Whatever the price is,
I'm wondering if that's like a...
It's still expensive, isn't it?
£115
I mean,
for a ticket.
Yeah. It
is, yeah. They're really expensive.
I feel like I'm going to sound like one of those really miserable people here, but...
And?
I much prefer watching it at home.
Do you? You prefer the TV experience?
Yeah.
So I think there's something wonderful about an atmosphere, but you've got to consider that you go and your team wins...
Yeah.
Ecstatic, maybe, really happy. Your team loses. You've got to actually appreciate that experience is worth that amount of money as well. You can't rely on the result. Because in sport, especially cup finals, not necessarily the best team wins, does it? It's the one who scores the goal. So, you know, or goals. So you have to work it out. I think there's a lot of hype with sport, though. And a lot of hype with concerts, a lot of hype with tickets. That's how it sells itself, isn't it? There's always a lot of hype. And the one which really bugs me, though, is the first... and last thing.
What do you mean?
The hype on first and last really bugs me. I was at the first gig. I was at the first, you know, it's like I was at the first Sex Pistol gig, or I was at the first, I was there at the beginning, I saw it first, you know, or the one, I saw the last gig. I saw the last Elvis Presley gig. Yeah, when you saw Elvis Presley right at the end, he wasn't as good, was he? When you saw him right at the beginning, he wasn't as good. You want to see Elvis Presley in his prime right in the middle. But people want that first and last, don't they?
Well, it's an occasion, isn't it, I suppose?
Do you know what? I'm working on Soccer AM and we were really busy. We were absolutely chock-a-block. And it's like, it was a Friday afternoon and we do a lot of work on Friday afternoon for the show on a Saturday morning. And one of the producers, a guy called Neil... Hello, Neil. You're probably going to listen to this. I'm going to make you listen to this afterwards because I rib him about it all the time. Everyone's looking around from everywhere and it's like, where the hell has Neil gone? And he was, you know, you're only as good as your weakest link in a chain. He was part of the chain and he'd gone missing. And he, you know, he's a very good person to have in the production. One of the greats, you know. And we couldn't find him anywhere. And eventually I went outside and he stood in the car park. Neil, what are you doing in the car park? Concorde's flying over for the last time. And I don't want to miss it. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. You're standing here. He goes, well, you don't want to miss the last time Concorde flies. Why? What impact? So every now and then I just send him an email or text or something.
I can speak from personal experience. Tim does not let stuff go.
I say, how's that Concorde sighting working out for you? How did it change your life? Because I just can't get my head around the idea.
Because you're not interested in it, so you don't understand.
I used to send him videos of Concorde all the time, going, wow, look at this. Not the last time, but here's a video of Concorde. It's a plane in the air. What does it matter?
It was a pretty extraordinary plane.
Yeah, I 100% agree. If he had the last flight in Concorde, I'd go, yeah, all right, I'll let you off with that. Because, I don't think we're going to have a plane like that for a while, are we? But it was just standing in a car park in Austerlitz, looking up at the sky, going, "Oh, look, there's an aeroplane." Do you not think that's nonsense?
If I'd have been there, I probably would have gone out with him. Mm.
I have a problem with first and last. The other problem with first is everyone's talking about this now. It's taken the news by storm because they all want to be the first, you know. We were the first people, especially our social media as well. I was the first to report a player signing or someone's death or some news happening. I was the first. Actually, it's probably better to be the most accurate rather than the first.
Yeah.
But everyone wants to be the first. And that's how news is run now. I think there's something like an exclusive now. If a paper or a magazine gets an exclusive, it's only ever an exclusive for 8 minutes is apparently the time it can be an exclusive for before everybody else picks it up. Yeah. Let's move on to the next problem. This comes from Benjamin. I'm feeling a bit blue at the moment. What song should I listen to make me feel better? I actually replied to him because it was on Twitter. Have you tried The Power of Classical Music? Discussed it last week, didn't we, Mark? You get the right composer at the right moment and there's all sorts of oral magic going on. This is true.
We're gonna have to do a sister podcast. Lovejoy discusses classical music.
I know nothing about classical music.
What, really?
I do. I can admit there's two things in life I decided to learn nothing about, and that was classical music.
You decided to not learn about
them. Yeah. Right. I was getting frustrated.
That sounds slightly dunderheaded.
Well, let me explain it, and then you can see. So I'm getting slightly frustrated because I'm going out to restaurants and people and they go, what wine do you want? And I'm like, I don't know. And so I start trying to learn a bit about wine. Do you know how much there is to learn about wine? It's ludicrous. And I really like wine to taste, but I don't want to learn about it. So I love classical music, but there's too much to know. So I've decided on both of them. I'll leave my classical music to compilation CDs or to classic FM or Radio 3. And I will leave my wine to either the maitre d' if it's a really posh restaurant.
Sommelier.
Sommelier. What did I say?
Maitre d'.
Yeah, sorry, the sommelier if it's a really good restaurant. Otherwise, if it's not such a good restaurant, I'll go house red or house white. Simon Rimmer.
Always go for a Chilean red. Mid-range Chilean red.
See?
They're always really tasty.
You're just playing to the crowd.
No, but I know, I like them.
Wave at the crowd, Mark. You're playing to them. Wave to them. Chile, I know something about wine. I'm saying Chilean red. Wave, gone. They're over there. They're cheering. Are you over there in the corner? It's absolute nonsense, Chilean red. I'm going to go for an Argentinian rosé. It's nonsense.
Bad. Argentinian Malbec's quite good.
See, you're playing the game. You're playing to the crowd.
I just know a couple of things.
Yeah, that's it. So the rest of your wine. I went out for a meal and I was with a guy who imports wine and he saw a Turkish red. Are they renowned for their reds?
I have no idea, Tim.
Right. So he had a Turkish red on the menu and he ordered it. It was unbelievably good because he wanted to try it and he thought, that is astonishing. But the sommelier told him it was going to be a good wine. So that, you know, that's why you use sommelier, but you use the house red or the house white because a restaurant is judged on their house wines. Simon Rimmer told me this. So what restaurants normally do is they usually put a very decent wine on their house wines, not a cheap one, not a nasty one, because a lot of people just order the house red.
The best
and the
thing to do
white.
Is do what Homer Simpson does.
What's that?
Order the second least expensive.
Is that what he does?
So he don't look cheap, but you don't spend too much money.
No, you see, yeah, but that's Simon Rimmer told me not to do that. He said the house will probably be better than the second most expensive.
I mean, when it comes to wine, I've got to choose between Simon Rimmer and Homer Simpson. I'm going Simpson every time.
No, I wouldn't do that. I'd just go for the Chilean red. Always mid-range Chilean red. I can't wait to go for dinner with you next. Whatever happens, I'm going to order Chilean
again.
Red.
Not after we went to dinner last time and you stared at a couple having an argument and we didn't speak for 2 hours. It's not happening again, Tim.
Have I told you about my mate Desi? He's brilliant. He comes from Norway and he never looks at the menu. He's brilliant. I've done it a couple of times and the waitress comes over and he goes, "I have the lobster." And that one woman, she started writing it down.
This is McDonald's, sir.
she started writing it down. She went, "Oh, you don't have the lobster." And he goes, "So I'll have the steak then." And I just thought that's just the easiest way to go through life. I'll have lobster or I'll have steak. It's just easy.
I went through about, this is slightly different. I went through about 5 years of only wearing black polo shirts, nothing else. And my whole wardrobe was jeans and black polo shirts.
That's not a bad idea.
Because
that's your look.
Because they just, that's what it is.
That's your look. That's what you look like and people respect you for that. Yeah. I like that idea. So anyway, getting back to this guy, he said he wants music, classical music. We've gone through that. I went to a back doctor once actually, and he was real weird.
Did you hurt your back, Tim?
This was years ago though. This was literally maybe 15 years ago or something. No, 10 years ago. And he was just a really strange back guy. And he was like this guy, he'd get me to breathing exercises all the time. And he used to go, "Oh, you've got a bad back because of your breathing. You're not breathing properly."
I was breathing,
but he was going, "You're not breathing. If you can learn to breathe properly, you won't have back problems." I just thought, you know, after a while, I'd paid him a few visits and stuff, and I just thought, absolute nonsense, so I gave it up. And maybe it's not nonsense, you'll write in and tell me. But one of the things he did do is he said, what you've got to do is, one of the other pieces of advice is you've got to get music that gets you up. Music is such an amazing thing. So I went off and I made playlists. So if you're feeling low, you get a playlist to get you up if you want to go out or whatever.
Is this going to be as good as your wedding playlist?
Well, the only advice I give you, first of all, if you do that, though, you can't just find one track and then hammer it. Because say you find that one track, what is it? It's... I think of a track, Kajagoogoo, Too Shy, and you're there.
Wow, I love what comes straight to your head.
Why the hell did I think of that? So you're saying
you're from the 80s.
Too shy, shy, hush, hush. Anyway, what does that mean? Anyway, you're doing that, right? And if you do that every day to get yourself out, you're going to get this. It's going to reverse. You're going to get really bored. So you've got to find a myriad tracks. And I've got a load of playlists. I've got a playlist for running. I've got a playlist for nighttime. I've got a slow playlist for romance. No, I don't. But I do.
Oh,
you
so have.
I so don't.
Red, red wine.
Ooh, Chilean red, mid-range.
Doesn't matter which one it
Chilean
is.
Chilean red, mid-range. Play to the crowd.
House
there
red wine.
Chilean red. Anyway, I've got my feel good. Do you want to hear some of my feel good ones?
I would love to.
Because it's a really bad list of songs. That's what I realised.
I can imagine.
Well, no, I've got Message to Rudy, Specials. Right. That's my banker. That's the one I always put on if I'm feeling miserable. I don't know if you know this, Mark. I might have told you before, but the Specials invented music. There was no music before the Specials. But I've also got Teenage Dirtbag by Wheaters.
Okay.
I like that one. Jesse's Girl by Rick Springfield. Do you know that one?
I don't know that one, Tim. That was before my time, I'm afraid.
It's kind of maybe before my time, but I was listening to it. You'd know it if I played it to you. It was on Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Okay.
And it made me feel happy, so I downloaded that one. Come and Get Your Love, Redbone. That's another 70s.
Oh, that's an amazing song.
Funky for Jamaica, Tom Brown. That's always good. F Forever, swear word forever, Baby Shambles. I always like that.
Yes.
If I'm going out, I like that.
That's
Rudy,
a good song.
Rudy Can't Fail by The Clash, if I'm going out. I like that one. Insane in the Brain, Cypress Hill. I mean, kind of... Not a classic track to tell people you like, but I love that one when I'm just about to going on. One, the Beta Band, very cool, you know, I like that when I'm going out. Do you have a little playlist before you go out?
Not really. There's a few songs I like if I'm fit, you know, to get you feeling.
Did I ever tell you about my mate Stedders? I might have told you this on one of the podcasts that never went out. Or I might have told you. I'm going to tell you anyway because it always makes me laugh. He used to before he went out, he used to always get brush strokes on, what was it, DVD?
I think we have talked about this because you've likened the theme tune to the Brush Strokes theme tune.
And he used to go and play, every time just before I go out, I play an episode of Brush Strokes because Jacko gets me in the mood and gives me confidence to pull.
Well, one of my songs is the theme tune to the Lighty Lads.
What, to go out?
Yeah, it's a great song.
What happened to you? No, that's sad, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Isn't it?
No.
All right. Who sings it?
I can't
remember. Do they sing it?
No.
Okay. Listen, if you've got any ideas on music.
Dennis Waterman.
If you've got any music, any ideas on music, got any ideas on Gillian Reds, mid-range, then you want to send us a tweet. Here is our Twitter address.
If you've got a problem with very little meat, get hold of Tim by sending him a tweet.
At Tim Lovejoy.
Okay, next problem is a letter. It comes from Alex. He's going to need your help and advice. My wife and I have just recently been blessed with our first child. Congratulations. His name is Theo. I like that name. It's a good name. He is incredible, and I'm loving being a new dad. The only issue I'm having is where I have been trying to help my wife at weekends by doing the night feeds. Good. I really struggle getting back to sleep. Okay. I'm writing this at 6 a.m., having been awake for nearly 3 hours. It seems whatever I try to do to get back to sleep, it doesn't work. I wouldn't even say I have a lot going through my mind, which would keep me awake. Do you have any suggestions to help me get back to sleep? Thanks, Alex. Long-time listener, first-time emailer. Yeah, we've had one of those. Yeah.
Long-time listener.
Months. He's been listening to us for weeks. Thanks, Alex. Thank you. That's really cheered me up, long-time listener. Makes us feel like we've been doing this a while.
Hey, Steve, loving the show.
Now, I you know, the idea of doing this podcast is we give advice and we, you know, we help people out with their problems. But I hate to let people down, but... Alex, this is the truth. There is no solution to this problem. It's one of the few problems in the world where nothing can be done. Mention trying to get back to sleep. Even Buddhists run a mile from that one. That's the famous Buddhist proverb, as you probably know. Getting to sleep, fine. Getting back to sleep, bloody lottery. And, you know, if you could work out how to get back to sleep, every time you'd be sitting at the table with Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, that's what I reckon, because it is an absolute impossibility. You can take drugs, but that's a slippery slope, isn't it? But we all do it. Wake up in the middle of the night, maybe you need to go for a wee, or maybe just nightmare, or there's a noise, or something wakes you up. Sometimes you put your head back on the pillow and you softly just drift away. Other times, bam, that's it, you're awake. How do you get back to sleep? Nobody knows this. We are going to get a sleep expert on this. Yeah, we're going to get in a few weeks' time, we're going to get a sleep expert. And that'll be one of the questions I ask him. Look, ways that people say do it is there's the one where you count, not sheep, but you can count sheep. But there's the one, have you heard about this? You start at 100 and you've got to count back down to one. And every time you...
Get back to one?
No, because you never make it, supposedly. But you, what happens is you go 78, 77.
You start at 100, surely.
Yeah, all right. Right. 100. Do I have to go all the way down to 77? This is going to be a boring podcast. But you get down to, I don't know.
Oh, you know, it already is. So it's what's a bit of counting backwards going to help?
Might liven it up.
At least I know what's coming.
Yeah. Hey, I love the podcast where you count it backwards.
Hey, that's what we should do.
I'm going to start at 88 and work my way back to 77 to show you, right? So you're 88, 87, 86, 85, 84, 83, 82, 81, 80, 79, 78, 77. Oh, I wonder if I've got to pick up my dry cleaning tomorrow. Oh, no. Right, start again. And that's what you're supposed to do. And you're supposed to visualize the number coming into your head. But if you stop and drift off elsewhere, you start again from 100. It's a punishment. Doesn't work. Have you tried it?
No.
Try that one. Do you have problems getting back to sleep?
I do, but I've got a technique which I use, which is fail-safe for me. But
let me run through the other two ways of doing it. Concentrating on your breathing is another one that they always say do it. So you just, it's like meditation.
I think concentrating on anything is a bad idea when you're trying to get to sleep.
Do you? You concentrate on your breathing, in, out, and that's what you do. You just concentrate on your breath. Apparently that helps you. And the other one is, I was told by other people, get up, which he's already done because he's fed a baby. Walk around, do something, read a book, have something. But don't get in artificial light, apparently. Try and get as much just, you know, just doing a reading or something like that. When I see artificial lights, fine with lights in the house, but no computer lights or anything like that. And then go back to bed and then you go back to sleep. That doesn't work for me either. What have you got, Mark?
There's a couple of things I do. It both involves the telly.
The TV?
Yeah, yeah. One of them is TV, Tim. I don't watch TV, Tim, no. One of them is I put my laptop on and I...
Laptop?
I put headphones...
Oh, Mark, no.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, try it next time. I guarantee it works. And also let me finish it.
Guarantee. get this guarantee. He's going to be sitting at the table with Gates and Buffett soon. Go him up.
You put your laptop on and you watch a documentary. iPlayer, I've got loads of them. Stuff that you're not interested in. You put one headphone in and you lie face away from it. And it just, that works.
All right, so like, give us an example of the documentary.
Oh, something about, I don't know, Elizabethan dresses or something.
Right.
Yeah. Like, okay. Face away from it, and that gets me to sleep. Or you go just go downstairs, make a cup of tea, and start watching telly. Sit upright, and then you start going, oh, God, I'm so tired. I really want to go to bed. So just lie down on the sofa, and before you know it, it's like you trick yourself into thinking you're not tired, and you start going, oh, I'm so tired.
There's a breathing exercise, isn't there, as well, apparently?
No reaction to that? No, nothing, okay.
What, you sitting in front of the TV? Yeah, but I was just going, because there's two other things that I've read. One's a breathing exercise, which is you breathe in, breathe out a certain amount of times. So I don't know, it's like... You've got to do three or four big breaths, and I can't remember that one. And the other one, going back to your TV thing, is you keep your eyes open.
Yeah.
So what you're doing with the TV is you're keeping your eyes open. What you do in bed, apparently, is you keep your eyes open. If you keep your eyes open and focus on something on the ceiling, apparently your eyes naturally shut and then you shut yourself down.
Yeah.
I don't think any of it works, though.
They do for me.
You know what the strange thing was, is which I've started reading this bloke's book, who's... going to come on and talk to us about sleeping. Sleep's changed dramatically over the years with the invention of the light bulb. And prior to that, fire.
Well, we used to go to bed when the sun set and get up when the sun rose.
Of course.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask him whether we slept more in the winter.
We probably did,
yeah. So I don't really have a solution for Alex. Alex, I'm really sorry because...
I've given him two cracking ones. I don't know what you're talking about.
What? Sit and listen. Look, I'm sorry. Sit and watch a computer screen, which everyone says do not do. That's the sort of light which makes you come away.
If you were listening, you'd have heard me
turn
say
your
face
head away.
Away.
Yeah, face away. And get up and sit and watch TV.
Yeah.
Podcast. That's how to do it, maybe.
Well, I think we should release...
But then he can't, because he's lying next to his... His wife, who's just had a baby, he can't put.
That's why
he
should go
on.
Downstairs.
Right.
Sit on the sofa. What we should do is just release a one-off podcast that is just you counting backwards.
Should we do that?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, let's do it. Let's do it as, what number is this? 15. Let's do it as 16. Just me counting. What shall I count from?
100, obviously.
No, because that would be too short. If it's a whole podcast, 30 minutes long. It'd be terrible if that was our most successful podcast.
It will be. It will be the most insightful.
Oh, let's try it. The sleep podcast. Oh, let's do it. Oh, come on. How do we do it? I'll have to write all the numbers down because I won't be able to.
And I could like overlay some whale sounds and stuff.
No,
and
I, like just, some, no I just
some
think silence.
Some seashore.
I just think some... Let me try it. 100. 99. 98.
Oh, the paint's dried.
97. 96. 95. 94. 93. 92. 91. 90.
TV Tim in the house. Life hacks. Life hacks. Pearls of wisdom. Don't let life mug you off. Mug.
Wake up now. Time for some pearls of wisdom, life hacks, things they didn't teach you at school. First one, if you are a new parent like Alex, the rules of good parenting, there's only three things you need to know. Routine, consistency, and anticipation. That is one of the greatest pieces of advice you will ever get, and you heard it here.
Aren't consistency and routine... almost the same thing.
No. Routine means, and I'm talking about young children here. I'll just quickly guide you through this because it is such a wonderful piece of advice. Routine means you're sort of, maybe bath time's the same. Stop laughing.
I just suddenly had an image of if you brought out an album, you'd do your own quotes. Tim Lovejoy's new album. 5 stars, Tim Lovejoy. Absolutely amazing.
It's really good. It rocked me.
Sorry, I think you rate your own stuff.
It rocked my world, Tim Lovejoy. No, this is the, you know, I'm all right. I'm going to come clean. My mum knows a woman.
So does mine.
Does she? Yeah. Is it the same one?
I don't know.
Probably not. Who was a Norland nanny. You know, one of those nannies who wear the brown outfits.
Oh, right, okay.
And when I said to her one day, I want advice when I have my twins, she said these three things: routine, consistency, and anticipation, the three keys to parenting. So it's not really mine, but it's off a Norland nanny. So routine means like the same bath time, same dinner time, same bedtime. Get them up at the same time. Yeah. Don't let them sleep in. Get them up at the same time. Talking about a baby or a young child or something like this, actually it probably works all the way through. Consistency. Make sure if you say no, you're not allowed to write on the wall one day. They're not allowed to write on the wall the next day.
Fine.
It's consistency, that's what that is. And anticipation. If your child, you've got to be aware, you've got to understand what your child's doing. If your child is just about to throw his, her dinner on the floor, which they often do, children, to get a reaction, you see it happening, you take it off before they do it, then you put it back. You stand there, and when they go to do it again, you take it off. If the child is going to keep on getting out of bed, what you do is you stand in the room or stand outside the room, you anticipate that this is going to be happening.
Why
and you
would
keep
you
doing
have
it.
Children?
Because it's a wonderful experience, Mark. Pearl of wisdom number two. If you're going around someone's house for dinner, make sure you're not hungry. That way you can enjoy the evening, even if you don't like the food or the host is stingy with the portions.
So you eat before you go?
Yes. That is a brilliant life hack, and I do that now. So what I would do is say I'm coming around to Mark's house for dinner. I'm not sure. Actually, Mark's a decent cook. I've seen some of his food. Not tasted it, not been invited. But
actually, do you know you have been?
Oh, did I turn it down?
No, it's a thing for the future.
Oh, just come any time.
No, but we discussed it.
What, I can just do a pop-in?
No, we're not. I'm not a pop-ins.
So well,
that's a blast from the past.
I know. So they were the good old days. So basically what I do now, so I have a breakfast and then I'll have a really late lunch. So maybe going in, I'll maybe have a little snack. So I'm kind of not hungry. I have a friend who never produces enough food for us all. So we always get a bit hungry. And so you make sure you eat prior to going to his house. I have another friend, and I don't really like their cooking much, so I have tiny little bits. Is that bad? No, it's not bad at all.
No, it's just polite.
It's just so, and I always find my experience much better if I don't turn up at someone's house going, I'm so hungry, when's the food at?
Yeah.
So I went out for dinner the other day for someone's birthday, and I was starving, and it was an arrest.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, the laptop just broke. I was saying, I went for dinner not so long ago for a friend's birthday, and we didn't get to eat till 9 o'clock at night. That's when we started ordering.
Too late.
And it's just, it's so late, I'm so hungry. And I've got a problem if I'm too hungry, because if I knew it was that late, I'd have eaten beforehand, just ordered some snacks. But so for the hour between 8 and 9, I was sitting there going, I'm so hungry, can we order something? And people are talking, I'm actually not listening. I've got a real problem with that. Being hungry. Right. Now, this final life hack I've read it okay. The other day, and I wanted to bring it to you because I'm not sure about it. It says there is a 50-70 rule when making eye contact in conversation. When speaking, maintain eye contact 50% of the time. When listening, 70% of the time. Do you think...
Say that again.
Right. When I'm speaking to you, Mark, 50% of the time I've got to make eye contact. I understand that, because if you hold eye contact for too long, it's threatening, and we'll end up having a fight or maybe kissing, one or the other. I think kissing, the way we're feeling tonight, or maybe fighting. Have you got friends who do it? They hold your look for too long and it's like, oh, stop staring.
Yeah, but
me.
Equally, people who do that sideways thing where they don't look into your eyes.
Oh, that's also
really
hard.
Weird.
Yeah. And then you get guys who go, what you want to do with a girl is just want to stare at her and really look at her longingly for a long time. But when I'm doing that...
And they're all
that,
in prison.
But when I'm doing that, I always think, the girl's thinking, this guy's a weirdo. Stop looking at me like that, because it's not not. She's not thinking, oh, this is nice, I'm getting a lot of attention. She's just thinking, the guy's staring, he's weird. If you are a woman out there and you're listening, we have a lot of lady listeners, could you let us know when a man stares at you for a long period of time? Do you find that seductive or do you find it creepy? If you could please let us know the usual addresses, that'd be great. But listening 70% of the time, Mark, I would assume in a conversation you listen 100% of the time.
No, that's talking about when what they're saying is make eye contact when you're listening 70% of the time, not listen 70% of the time. The 70%
is when speaking, maintain eye contact 50% of the time. When When listening, 70% of the time.
Yeah, it doesn't mean listen 70%
of
the time. That, how long ago did you read this? Because I would say...
Oh, right.
I say, I reckon you bang about a 60% average of listening to people when they're talking.
I'm about 10% average of reading this. All right, I get it now. So when you're listening 70% of the time, when you're talking, you don't have to look as much. Okay,
I've got a life hack for you.
Go on.
Read your notes before you do the podcast.
If you have a life hack... If you have a pearl of wisdom, things they don't teach you at school, email us on this email address.
If what you want to ask is just too long for Twitter, don't stress. We've got an easy to remember email address. This is the reason for this overly long song. It's dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com.
Right, Mark, we've been going a very long time now, over 40 minutes. We know we don't like these things to creep up. What do we want to do? Agony aunt or
Agony aunt, maybe.
Or an email.
I think...
We got an email from James. James, we like your email. Let's do the agony aunt because this is an important email.
And I don't think we've got enough time, so I don't want to rush it.
James, we will talk about your email next week. Our apologies that we didn't get time to do it today. Let's go into our agony aunt item, which is we read out an agony aunt and then I answer it, and then we read out what the agony aunt says, and we see who comes up with the best advice. Generally, I think I can say that I generally offer better advice than the agony aunts. Mark,
see, it's funny that because I don't.
Tim's agony aunt advice, 5 stars. It says it here on my paper. Dear Abby, Abby again. Oh, you love Abby.
It wasn't
you
last week.
You love Abby.
It was Lucy last week.
Lucy. Lovely Lucy. Dear Abby, I just stumbled upon my daughter-in-law's Twitter account. Stumbled. Yeah, right. She has posted...
Stumbled is brilliant.
Just rubbish, isn't it? You know, I'll just stumble. Oh, look, there it is.
You stumble on a Lego brick. You don't stumble on an account.
She's posted half-naked pictures. Well, you can't post naked pictures on Twitter. They take them down, don't they? Anyway, she talked about all the drinks she was consuming and said that if she didn't have a child, she'd be gone. The language she used would make a sailor blush. I babysit for her.
Who says that these days?
She does, whoever this is. I babysit for her and I was shocked to say the least. I foolishly posted a shocked cat on Facebook stating that, oh, this is me reading your Twitter account. My son is now upset with me that I read her Twitter posts. I'm not sure he has seen them. I saved them on my computer, which he picked up when he was here and ran through my history. I know I didn't handle this the right way, but she was saying she starts drinking at 7 a.m. and that moonshine wasn't working anymore. I'm truly concerned about the baby. What can I do to repair this situation? I can't quite work out, Mark, because I wasn't very good at reading the last bit. Has the son actually read these then or not, do you think?
I don't understand how what the problem is because...
Well, I'm doing the advice, not you.
No. But I'm wow. Put me in my place. God, you're cranky today.
Mark, it's a game. I do the advice. It's not Mark takes on the agony aunt.
When she says she stumbled on the Twitter posts, yeah. Right? You're just reading Twitter.
Yeah.
Right? So why she saved them on her computer, that's what I don't understand.
Yeah, that's the bit I don't get. And my son is now upset with me that I read her Twitter posts. Right, I get that. And then I'm not sure he had seen them. Then I saved them on my computer, which he picked up when he was here and ran through my history.
Basically, I think the history just showed that she'd looked at them. I think that's all that
so
means.
So has the son seen them or not?
I think that's mum language for, yeah.
Here's my advice. Want to hear it, Mark? You need to talk to her. That's what you need to do. Posting a shot cat is nonsense. It's childish. It's not good. You need to sit down with your daughter-in-law and have a cup of tea with her and see if she's all right. Stop laughing, Mark.
I laugh at sentences you'd never think you'd say. Before Twitter, you'd never have said, posting a shocked cat.
You need to sit down with this woman anyway. You're right. And you need to, your daughter-in-law, you need to have a cup of tea with her and you need to see if she's all right. Maybe you could then be a really decent mother-in-law and take the pressure off her, because it sounds like she's not getting on well with her life and the kids. She doesn't seem to be coping in my mind. And I want to know what your son's doing, because this poor woman, I don't know why I'm taking the side of the poor woman, but to me, if you're going on Twitter, you're putting a semi-naked picture of you, you're drunk, you're drinking, it's a cry for help. I'm like, I am bored of my life. And I don't want to be looking after these kids. I need escape. Twitter's where I'm escaping. It's actually a really nice thing that you've seen it. Now you and your son can go and help this lady to make sure that she's, rather than, you know, having a go at her and feeling that she's a bad person, you've got to see that that's a cry for help. Go and look after her. Go and make her a cup of tea. See if you can help her. See if you can help her with the children. Children can be complicated and can be hard work. And your life can feel like it's just revolving around children sometimes. So make sure you don't. She's not feeling like that, and she's getting enough escape, enough time to go out. And that is my advice. What does Abby say, Mark?
If the post was public, then anyone could see it. Your son may be embarrassed that you saw how dysfunctional his marriage is, and that. And that's why he is misdirecting his anger towards you rather than where it belongs. If your daughter-in-law is drinking from the moment she wakes up, she's in no condition to be caring for a baby. If she is using something stronger, you need to remind your son that the child's welfare must come first. If your statement is ignored, you will have to decide whether to involve child protective services. So, pretty hardcore.
Yeah, but who said it's a baby? Where does it say it's a baby? I'd babysit for her. She said it's a child. Where has she got... Abby makes it up, doesn't she?
Well, I think the whole thing of Abby's made up.
Well, Mark, don't say that. Please don't ruin it for us. Who won that?
Apparently.
Who won that? Abby wants to go to child services.
I would give that to you, actually.
Yes! The big winner! He's going to go out and celebrate with a medium-range price of Chilean red wine. That's what he's going to do. Mid-range. Yeah!
You really don't let things go, do you?
Have you seen Concord? That's it for this week's podcast. If you want to email us, it's dearlovejoy@gmail.com. Yeah, it is. If you want to tweet us, it's at Tim Lovejoy. Please subscribe to us. Please rate us 5 stars. We will see you all next week.
Maybe not this one.
This is one of the best ones, Mark. This is the one. No, the next one's the best one, where I count from 100 down to 1. Tim, Dear Lovejoy's sleep podcast. That's what we'll call it.
Sleep bonus special.
I'll see you all next week. Bye.
Bye.